Hello, everybody. Welcome to Interview with the Horror Virgin. I'm your host, James, and with me today I have...
Hey, it's Heather.
Hey, Heather. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Heather has been listening to the podcast for a while, and she was wanting to come on and join. So how do you feel about the show?
I am a huge fan of the show. I love listening to what James recommends and all his knowledge about horror movies.
Cool. Speaking of horror knowledge, would you like to share some of your horror knowledge? Like, where did you start with horror films and where are you at today?
I started with horror films. I've always been a big fan of horror. I guess it started when I was just young and going to Blockbuster, looking at the horror section, picking out movies. Those were literally the best days of my life. Like, I miss those times so much now, but that's kind of what started it, just going with my friends and sisters and just having movie nights with horror movies. So much fun.
Would you usually go for, like, what was, like, you know, in Blockbuster or Hollywood Videos where they would have that one section?
Oh, my God, Hollywood Videos. Yeah, right. I forgot about that.
I'm really, really, like, you know, digging deep at the nostalgia we're
right now. Yeah.
No, but you remember, like, in those video stores where they would, like, have a release of, like, the big named one and they would, like, you know, section off an entire back wall?
Yeah, like the walls.
Of just that. You would probably go towards those, right?
I mean, if it was something that I knew was going to be there, like a new release, if it was even available, then yeah, I'd probably do that. But I don't know. I kind of always like just picking movies I thought looked cool and I didn't know anything about I just like everything.
No, that's good. Back then, that was more of a gamble than anything else.
It may have looked good
on the outside, but then you go home about to say, wow, this is a steaming pile of crap.
Yeah, it could be absolute garbage because we didn't have movie reviews back then or anything.
You kind of did, but you had to go into like the magazines and you have to go on to like TV at the time to be like, all right, there is no Siskel and Ebert right now. But, you know, we didn't really have the equivalents of that. You know, we would kind of have to just like see
this was before internet. Like when I was 10, 11, we didn't even have internet then. So
Same. I mean, like we had AOL when we got here to McDonough. That was back in like 2000 though.
Yeah. And then if you were on, you couldn't talk on the phone at the same time.
Oh, yes. Those lovely moments where you're in, like, in the midst of a school project and all of a sudden there goes the internet. I hope you saved.
Yeah. I've got to use the phone.
Can you wait 10 minutes? No. But yeah, those were some good times, you know, going in, getting your film. Now, when you said you and your friends would always get stuff, what was your, like, favorite thing to watch? Was there, like, ever a horror film or, like, even a horror genre that you did like to watch a lot?
When we were teenagers, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Jeepers Creepers, the Scream movies, those were our favorites. I've always really loved movies that were, especially horror movies that are based on actual events, like Amityville, The Conjuring, things like that.
Oh, yeah. You know Jeepers Creepers is based on true events, too.
Is it really?
The beginning part, not the whole demon
I
creature
did not
flying.
I didn't know that.
Well, I won't go too much into it, but if you ever want to read into it,
yeah.
The part, I'll just tell you, pretty much the very beginning of Jeepers Creepers with the truck to where they see a body being thrown down somewhere,
yeah.
That's pretty much based on a true event.
Wow.
The rest of it's just Hollywood fiction.
You have to tell me about that after we're done here.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool. And you mentioned I Know What You Did Last Summer. Those are probably like the I would say like millennia horror films. Like the very end of the 90s when slasher films were kind of like not dying out, but they were getting a little too predictable because like you mentioned the Scream films and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which I still think Scream is great. I love Scream, don't get me wrong.
I'm a huge Scream fan. Ghostface, he's one of my favorites.
Do you think the Scream films have kind of gone on too long, even though there's like, what, six films going on, seven?
I mean, they're definitely not as good as they used to be. And the most recent one, I was really disappointed in.
I feel you. I mean, I haven't seen it yet because, as I mentioned in a couple episodes back, I stopped at 4.
Oh, okay. Well, don't watch the most recent one then.
Well, yeah, that was my thing because it's just like, it's kind of like what happened with Freddy, in my opinion, or even the Jason, the big top dogs. You keep it going, but unfortunately, it's going to thin out and it's no longer scary. It's no longer, it no longer has that charm to it.
I would love to have a prequel. I love when they go back and they do prequels instead of extending it, you know.
Prequels are good. Prequels are good. I mean, they can be done right.
Yeah, like do a prequel and then have a trilogy, which I don't know how you'd really do it with Billy from the beginning, but
I mean, you could just talk about like it growing up. I mean, if you want to get like Rob Zombie level origin story with like how he did with Halloween.
That was one of the best ones, I thought.
I have my opinions. I love Rob Zombie films, but to me, when it came to the ambiguity of Michael Myers, that was so much more terrifying.
Yeah.
Especially since Halloween was not supposed to continue. Halloween was supposed to only have one movie about Michael Myers, and then John Carpenter just wanted to do an anthology for every other Halloween movie. That's why the third Halloween movie, fun little film fact, was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why everyone was so confused. Where's Michael Myers? Where's Michael Myers?
The witch one?
Season of the Witch with Season Tom of Atkins, the witch. Which is the greatest horror actor of all time. Good old Tom Atkins.
Better than Vincent Price?
I'm sorry, Tom Atkins has some of the best lines and some of the best acting. He was in My Bloody Valentine. He was in Night of the Creeps, which I still think is one of my favorite like sci-fi horror films of all time.
Okay. Well,
I won't say sci-fi. Well, it is a sci-fi horror film, but like we'll have probably do like someone with Night of the Creeps one of these days because I will talk that film to death. But yeah. That whole thing about like, you know, with Halloween, because like I kind of like how it was ending with the first one where he's gone. But all you hear as like the camera cuts to different parts of like establishing shots is just the breathing through the mask. That's and then it see
like the most ominous.
It's so terrifying when you don't explain it, because I know that nowadays in horror films we have to explain things. We have to elaborate because it's not just from storytelling, it's more for profit. Let's be honest. It really is more for profit.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like they with the newer ones, they try to add too much humor. Is it just me, or
ever since kind I saw of kills it? Halloween Kills. Speaking of kills, Halloween Kills. When I saw that, I bitched about this in the last episode about the whole how guns work when you're trying to shoot someone. You can't shoot yourself when someone hits you with the door. when the human hand gets disabled, we drop things. We have tiny bones in our wrists.
Not even physically possible.
The moment you hit hard enough, we let go. We relax. That's how muscles work and pain. Not just, Michael Myers hit me with this. I'm going to shoot myself now. Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, I hated that scene so much in Halloween Kills. No, but you are right. I feel like they're trying to throw in more humor, which I'm like, it doesn't need it.
It doesn't. No.
Horror isn't funny.
They're overdoing it.
You can. There is some. Okay, I will admit there is some funny horror films out there that are good at what they do. Horror films, like, you know, some dark comedy. And I think, like, dark comedy and horror films work.
Or dry humor.
That, too. But I feel like the one film I still love to this day that does, you know, dark humor well was American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Because just out of nowhere, he's going into these, like, weird, vivid dreams. And all of a sudden, he just wakes up. You're just like, what the hell is going on? Am I dreaming with him or, like, what? Sorry, we went off on the whole tangent. Speaking of, like, you know, comedy. Well, this isn't really comedy. What am I saying? Original ideas now. Let's talk about that. Do you think like some horror films are kind of drifting away from original ideas?
Like, are you talking about elevated horror? Like Jordan Peele?
Okay, maybe like Jordan Peele, but like, you know, coming with something original instead of just like, you know, going through the same formula with like horror films, like with slasher films. Like big examples I tell everybody all the time. They always ask, what's a slasher film? You have one person that takes out people one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about a lot of films that are out there that has one thing killing somebody or a person, they're slasher films. Alien is a slasher film when you think about
it. Oh yeah, I never thought about it like that.
The movie Predator is
a
slasher film.
That's a good one.
It's a good sci-fi horror film, but it is a slasher because it takes them out one at a time.
Yeah. Okay. I never thought about it that way.
But yeah, I mean, I would love to do some Jordan Peele movies on here. I've seen all three of his good ones. I still think Us is my favorite because of the hidden message in it and also the creepiness behind
it
as well.
It's the most creepy, I agree.
Yeah. But speaking of like original stuff, now that I can kind of segue into that, we're going to be, Heather's going to be watching a famous cult film called Event Horizon, starring Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. When I mentioned Event Horizon to you and all this stuff, like, you know, how do you feel about that?
I had never heard of this movie. When he asked me what movies I hadn't seen, he's like, have you seen Event Horizon? And I was like, no, I've never even heard of that. And he said Sam Neill was in it, Lawrence Fishburne, and I don't even know how I've never heard of it. But it's a space horror movie, and that's pretty much the extent of my knowledge about it.
Yeah, it's one of those films that was kind of released like in the late 90s, because we were mentioning I Know What You Did Last Summer and all that stuff. And you're just like, okay, 97 is when it was released. So kind of not, I think it was like right before.
Yeah.
Like when like horror films, like slasher horror films and all that stuff was kind of starting to die out, because that's what was happening, I feel like, in the 90s at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was becoming, you know, predictable with some of the stuff.
Right.
And I think that's why Scream came out during that time to kind of like, you know, even it out. Are we really this predictable now with our horror films? So that's why I'm kind of glad that this film was released. Now, originally this poor film didn't do well at the box office. And the director of it was Paul W.S. Anderson. And if you don't know who that is, he's done a lot of like video game adaptations the Resident Evil stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And yeah, he was also approached to do X-Men at the time.
Really?
Yes. Oh, a very long time, but he declined it. And when the film came out originally, it didn't get that well. But then Kurt Russell approached him and he says...
Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell, yes. Kurt Russell. And he said this to him. He said, "Don't worry. In 15 years, you're going to be proud of this film."
Wow.
And now this film has a huge cult following. Wow. People love this film. And it's really good. I mean, like, there are some people that don't like it, which I completely understand.
Mm-hmm. Sci-fi in space isn't for everyone. A lot of people don't.
You're right.
You know, it's not their genre.
It's not, because I feel like with what people think with space genre, and you can jump in on this as well with the horror stuff, there has to be a monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like from the 1960s to the whole, like, you know, space, the final frontier from Star Trek, there's mm-hmm. always some kind of physical being or monster that just happens to invade the ship
right.
and go after the crew, or they crash land on here and now they're stuck on this barren planet.
They have to get off the planet.
With something that's on there with you.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. And I feel like Event Horizon does that, but it adds in some... I don't want to say it's cosmic horror per se, because that kind of goes into Lovecraftian, but it goes into that uncertainty of like, how far are we willing to traverse space?
Oh, yeah. Which is so scary, because we really don't know what's out there, so, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's just funny now that when everyone, you know, talks about, ooh, the government said there's aliens, who cares now? I'd rather see what's beyond the space instead of my own planet at this point.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Now, the interesting thing about this film, I will say, is there was, originally it ran for like 130 minutes, but they had to cut part of it because there was... a lot of graphic scenes at one point. Yes.
Is this a gory movie?
Yeah, I won't say it's like gory movie, like torture porn level gory. It's more of just imagery of what's happening.
Okay.
And originally they were like yeah,
disturbing.
We can't. A little unsettling.
Okay.
A little unsettling, but in like, it has like its reasons. I know that for like, you know, some films I will say will always be like, you know, oh, it's just gratuitous, this, and this. But I feel like in some horror films, there's a reason behind it. Mm-hmm. It's not just being gory to be gory.
Right.
It wants to shock you with something immediately and not drag on a scene for 7 minutes while you listen to somebody scream.
Yeah, yeah.
Hostel, for prime example. That is not horror film. That's just me listening to a bunch of grown men scream as they're tortured to death. But yeah, that's my whole like spiel on it as well. So if you're like... it's not going to, like, you know, be in your face too much, but mm-hmm. I would say pay attention as much as you possibly can.
Okay. I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah. Or well, are you a little weak around, like, some gory stuff?
You know, blood and things like that, not so much, but, like, bones and, like, how we were talking about Suspiria, the contorting and breaking, like, that, I don't know, it just makes me cringe.
It's kind of like the scene in Misery, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I showed my girlfriend that scene for the first time, and she's never seen Misery.
Really?
Erica's never seen Misery, and then all of a sudden, I watched her just go from like, I know you guys can't see me, like, she like buried her head into my shoulder, just like, oh God.
Oh, that part. You could just hear the bones. And you're never leaving.
Yeah, and like, you just, well, not just the bones, but just seeing the foot just go from like, you know, standing straight up to just like going limp. Oh.
Yeah. That's a prime example right there.
Good. Well, that, none of that's really in here. But okay. Yeah, well, if you're ready to dive into Event Horizon, let's go. Anything else you want to add to it?
I don't know. I can't really think of anything. I'm just excited to see it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll be back in a little bit, guys. See you then. All right, everybody. We're back from Event Horizon, and I think Heather has a lot on her mind, so I'm going to give the mic over to her. Go for it.
Okay. Well, first off, I was actually pleasantly surprised with this movie. I wasn't sure, because I haven't seen a lot of sci-fi horror movies, but I feel like there should be more. This was really good. The set design was amazing, especially for 1997. The set design and the cinematography,
mm-hmm.
I feel like for that time period, it was way beyond, you know, what other movies look like. Let's see. There was a lot of jump scares. I think I got jump scared at least 4 or 5 times. Without giving too much away, there was one character that I was really, really happy survived. He was my favorite, and I thought he was a goner Once or twice, for sure, but he came back.
There was a couple close calls with him, and you were just like, no, not so-and-so. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, he's back. Oh, no, he came all this way. That's what happened to him.
I know. He worked so hard to survive. The acting was really good. Let's see. I wrote a couple notes down. One thing I do want to say, I know this movie came out in 1997, and Jurassic Park came out in 1993, but I feel like it was a missed opportunity for when they were on the spaceship. Someone could have been like, hold on to your butts.
That would have been a good one, yeah. I mean, for those of you that probably don't know this, Sam Neill was Dr. Grant in the Jurassic Park series. And I will say, I love Sam Neill when he's in horror films. He is so good in horror films.
I think this is the first horror I've seen him in, but he was really scary.
Oh, if you want to see another horror film that he's in, it's called In the Mouth of Madness. That's a John Carpenter film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's part of his trilogy of Apocalypse. You have The Thing, you have The Prince of Darkness, and you have In the Mouth of Madness. It also has Charlton Heston in it for a while as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So anything John Carpenter.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But again, it's just, it's really cool because, like I said, Sam Neill's great with all the stuff, but I feel like he shines in horror films.
Yeah.
He really, really does.
He's really, I feel kind of an underrated actor because he has so much going for him.
Yeah. So would you say, like, he lived up to his, like, you know, character in the film, the villain of it, so to speak?
Yeah, but, you know, going into this movie, I didn't even know he was going to be the villain because I didn't know anything about it. I thought he was just the scientist doctor. He didn't start off that way. I kind of had a feeling he was going that direction, but I wasn't 100% sure till the end.
Yeah.
And yes, he was, it was very unnerving. He was definitely a good villain. He played the role well.
It was a good, like, you know, build up to it because you knew he was trouble because we kept seeing visions of his wife and you find out why. But that seemed to be like the one thing that was haunting him
a
good bit because he was obsessed with his work, which his work was the Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Not giving too much away, but that was his, like, life's work. He worked on the warp drive. So
I feel like it was even more creepy because you didn't really find out until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a mystery. For me, anyways.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that was kind of how it was supposed to be. So I totally get it because I was, like, trying to make sure you didn't get too much revealed. Because, like, I was saying before, space horror films, like sci-fi like this, you're expecting to see some kind of, like, monster. You want to see something that's there. This isn't really there.
I didn't really know what to expect when, you know, all the jump scares, I didn't know what was going to come out at me.
Right. And I know some people were, like, you know, mad at that with this film. They're just like, where's the monsters? Where's the thing that we need to see that's scary? Originally, there was supposed to be, like, these terrestrial, like, monsters that were in there. And I think they're supposed to be, like, jellyfish-like at first. But they kind of scrapped that idea and went with something a little more ambiguous.
There was a couple, like, blobby jellyfish-looking things in the beginning.
That was the coolant. From
the coolant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. It's the coolant, and it just kind of, because remember, there was no gravity on board.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they turned the gravity on, it just went back and just, you know, stopped floating around.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Okay. I must have missed that part. Lawrence Fishburne, he had a couple good lines. He plays the captain so well, like the hero role, directing and leading people.
Oh yeah, he's great. I loved him in this. A couple of underrated actors in this as well, like he mentioned before, Jason Isaacs was in this.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, I'm trying not to butcher his name, Sean Pertwee, if you guys know who that is, like right after, I think when he got done with Event Horizon, he probably did some small stuff. Later on, I think in the early 2000s, that's when he did a commander role in very underrated werewolf film, Dog Soldiers. He plays the captain in there.
Oh, okay.
And I think there's a couple people actually named Cooper, Miller, all that, in Dog Soldiers as well. And you kind of fall in love with these characters as well in Dog Soldiers. So I don't know if maybe Dog Soldiers borrowed a lot from...
I'll have to check that out.
Yep. Again, that's on Tubi, I believe.
Do you think they will ever make a remake of this movie?
Because I don't think...
I'm surprised that it flopped. Like you said, it did.
It did. Well, you're talking about like during the 1997. This is kind of like when horror films or... Really, all that we saw were, like, you know, the slasher horror films. And as you were mentioning before, I know she did last summer, Scream. Mm-hmm. And I think horror was kind of transitioning into, like, another generation because it was 2000. Technology was changing, as you obviously could tell, where CGI was starting to be the next thing because we were going from practical effects to even, early stop motion effects, practical effects. Mm-hmm. We don't really have those that much anymore.
Yeah.
I understand why, because they can be very expensive because you have to buy the latex, you got to buy them all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then you got to shoot. And if you mess up a shot, well, I got to make 5 more plasters for the next, yeah, you know, 10 shots.
I can see how people would want to avoid that.
And I guess people just didn't understand the concept of like what happened to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like really what happened. And to me, I think I just like the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
How do you feel? How do you fare with it?
I actually really like the story. I thought it was really interesting. The time warp that he created. I mean, visually, this movie was really stunning. I thought the detail that they put into it. But the time warp and this the story of folding space and time. It reminded me a little of Interstellar and Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Going into other dimensions and... I mean, not specifically, that's not what they did. Well, no, but
he does mention that when you traverse a black hole, I meant the science of it,
yeah,
is, it is just the most powerful force in the universe.
Right.
It pretty much breaks every law.
Infinite.
It's infinite. It breaks the laws of physics, mm-hmm, gravity, light, everything, because everything,
yeah,
gets sucked into it. But it's so powerful that it could be used to traverse space and time.
Yeah.
And...
I like those mind-bending kind of,
yeah, I know what
lines
you're talking about. Like, you know, it messes with, like, you know, the concept of a
like
black
hole.
Like,
we'll be thinking about it for a couple of days after.
Yeah, because we don't think about it. We think, like, we just traverse from one area to another. But what if you did, but you went to a parallel universe,
yeah,
in the process?
Because they get dark real quick.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I meant, like, and the cool thing I liked about this, I'm a big fan of, like, not seeing what's really the most horrible thing in a horror film. I love it when they leave it to your imagination,
mm-hmm,
instead.
Yeah, sometimes
and
that's better.
That's what I like about this. They showed us little flashes because, like I said, there were parts of this film they couldn't show because it was too graphic for the time.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about people that had, like, barbed wire around their face, being impaled on spikes, being eviscerated,
yeah,
blood, maggots, all that stuff. You can actually, if you want to, you can go and, like, you know, freeze frame it on DVDs and you can see it.
Because it
why
went by so quick.
It went by. That's how he got away with the rating system.
Oh, okay.
Because it was only shown for like maybe like half a second. And then that's why the, you know, the FCC was like, oh, okay, whatever. Or the MPAA, excuse me.
Yeah. The first video of the crew that died that they went there to save,
mm-hmm,
that video I feel like was more horrifying than the second,
oh, yeah,
video. I don't,
like,
know why. It was
reaching
just
into the guy's mouth and,
oh,
like pulling,
yeah,
out his intestines, all that stuff. Yeah, but I feel like... those are some pretty gruesome deaths. Now, out of everybody's death that happened in here, who do you think had, like, the worst death?
The worst? Oh, the Isaacs guy.
Oh, Jason Isaacs. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He got pretty much, like...
That guy.
He got literally eviscerated from the inside out, but he was, like, opened up,
oh,
like,
my,
this.
He was hanging by his skin on hooks.
Yes, with his, like,
yeah,
you know...
He had it the worst.
With, like, ritual runes, like, written everywhere. Yeah, it's creepy. I meant, like, it was... His was pretty bad.
That one was very, chilling, I thought, like, oh, just looking at the skin,
yeah, you're
like
that, because that's a slow death right there.
His guts are just like open and everything fell out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty, that's, I'd have to agree, that's also a very gruesome one to go, because, yeah, that's pretty bad. Now, my next question for you is, who do you think would have survived, like, do you think, like, Lawrence Fishburne's character has, like, you know, survived since they've
somehow
gone back? Somehow. Do you think, like, he,
oh,
would be able to?
He's such a badass that I feel like it's possible he survived. He's somewhere.
I mean, he could be. My cool thing was, I used to think for a long time when I was watching this could be an interesting series.
It really could be.
That it, like, picks up, like, maybe 200 years into the future, and, like, this is my elevator pitch,
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden, like, a salvage team picks up a signal from a random ship. They have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
But they see it, and it's the shape of the event horizon. Or we don't see it yet. They dock up to it. They open it up. And then all of a sudden, you just hear Florence Fishburne's character, like, come out of the dark. He's a little bit older. And as they, like, you know, try to talk to him.
Do you think he would be evil?
I don't think he would be evil. He would probably, like, grab a hold of them and say, run. And then out of the darkness comes Weir.
Yeah.
To kill them.
Oh, my God.
And then has it, like, first, like, I don't know, just some kind of cool. And then, like, the camera would, like, pan out and you see the back half of the event horizon.
Oh, yeah, I could. I mean, especially with the time warp, I think there's some way that it probably could have survived somehow. I mean, it's a movie.
Again, time and space don't make any
maybe
sense.
Maybe they could have jumped through. I just don't feel like
wherever they went, yeah,
it could have been destroyed. That, I mean, it probably. I mean, it got blown up, but there's probably some way it could have develop itself mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah, and you were mentioning there were some cool lines in the film. Did you, like, have any lines that stuck out to you?
Oh, I'm... Let's see. Just when Lawrence Fishburne... What did he say? He was like, nope, we're leaving. And then, what did he say? Fuck this ship?
Yes. No, he said, fuck this ship.
Oh, fuck this ship. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Iconic.
Mine has to be from... Sam Neill's when Lawrence Fishburne says to him, you know, we're going back to hell, and then he just says the most chilling line, hell is only a word that describes this place. You have no idea what this place is like until you go to it. And again, that just sends chills because really where creepy. Did you keep asking where did this ship go that was so terrible that only the word hell barely describes it.
I know. That's what I was thinking when we started the movie. I thought they were actually going to go into the portal mm-hmm. and go to another dimension. But just the glimpses you saw were so... so awful and horrifying. So
and left to the imagination.
Yeah.
Now, which jump scare was the worst one for you?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. You were sitting next to me, but... The first one I remember was the glove.
Yes, the glove floating that scared Lawrence Fishburne's character.
It was just floating in the air. And that one, and then, when she was in the medical unit and then just the hand on the tent.
Oh, her son's, the vision of her son.
Yeah, but it was just like a hand real slow mm-hmm. like that. That one was a little creepy. And then, definitely the end, though.
Oh, yeah.
The last shot, or the second to last shot when... she saw his face.
Yes, like he's still here, like in some way or shape or form.
And you know, I expected it to have a final jump scare, but it still scared me. Do you think that when they get, if they get back to Earth, they're still going to be haunted by it?
Oh, like, absolutely.
See the visions?
Yeah, because the ship was showing them visions of, like, in their past mistakes, past all this, because that's what it does. It weakens mm-hmm. them. And interesting that you mentioned that, because that's how it killed, you know, the doctor, it killed the other doctor, the medical officer, and everyone else, because they kept seeing visions mm-hmm. that was troubling them.
Yeah.
And this concept actually was adapted into a video game later down the line called Dead Space. Same concept, where there's this artifact or something that makes you see things, and from it, it makes you hallucinate to the point where it can get you to kill yourself.
Oh, my God.
Or make you think that there's somebody physically in front of you, a loved one that you haven't seen. And in your mind, they could be hurting or being killed by something, but in reality, they're not.
Yeah, and then everyone who saw something was alone when they saw it, and then no one believed them.
And that's what it was wanting to do. It wants to weaken you mentally mm-hmm. in a way. And I know, like, this is probably, like, the one weird thing I do like about this. It's almost a very, like, you know, spiritual horror film about, like, you know, entities not possessing people, but objects like the ship.
Yeah.
I think that's what was so cool about Event Horizon. They went to a hell portal, and whatever was there possessed the ship, but... It can't really...
Yeah, like what could possess a whole ship like that?
That's what I'm saying, but it's just kind of cool. We watch, like, you know, possessions of, like, you know, exorcists and all mm-hmm. that, but whoever hears of a, you know, state-of-the-art ship being possessed by some evil entity that... Yeah. But again, it was showing them all the visions and stuff as well. So, mm-hmm. kind of a cool idea, I will admit.
Yeah, it is. It's very unique. But I really enjoyed it. I would probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay, good, because... It's like score right now, I think, is in like the 6 out of 10s.
Okay.
Just because, again, some of the story doesn't make sense. Some of the characters are just, like, you know, a little one-dimensional, which I can kind of see. Some of them just didn't enjoy it, and that's fine. Some people kind of like to see their horror films with more than just, you know, what's lurking in the dark.
Yeah.
So that's fair. Would you recommend this to other people?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it.
Would you make it I know you've got a 4-year-old. Would you make it a family movie night?
I would make it a family movie night with my 15 and 13-year-old.
You think they would be as scared by this as you were?
No.
Oh, come on. Sam Neill's so terrifying, though.
I don't know. They don't get scared like I do, I think. Their kids are desensitized nowadays.
I've got plenty of horror films, and we can test that theory.
We should do that one day. Have get a bunch of kids in here.
And terrify them with something. Oh, Lord, I'll get in so much trouble. Oh, God. Because I got to be like, well, I can't show them this. Because it's maybe a little too much.
Screen everything.
Oh, Lord, yes. But Cool.
You know, we had a sleepover a couple weeks ago, and I walked in the living room, and they were watching The Terrifier. And I turned it off real quick. I was like, you guys are not allowed to watch this.
Why would a child want to watch Terrifier? No.
You know how kids are when they're with their friends. It's like gang mentality.
Yeah, but, oh my gosh, I gotta give them something good without being, like, too terrifying, you know. I'm at,
man. Oh, they love The Conjurings.
Have they seen the original Ring film? And when I say original, I mean Japanese version. No. American version of stuff don't do so well.
They haven't seen the American one either. We were gonna watch it the other night.
Watch the original Japanese one.
Okay.
In my opinion, I think it is scarier. Because the ending, the ending is so much scarier than what we saw. Oh God, yeah, because it's so chilling. The way the Japanese edit and film that scene was so creepy to watch.
Where can you watch it on?
I have Shudder. Unfortunately, I have Shudder. I don't know if it's on Tubi anymore, but it's on Shudder. Shudder is a horror streaming service. A little promotion for them. They don't. I don't have any funding from them whatsoever. But no, Shudder is a horror streaming service, and they have a good bit of horror movies on there from original Shudder movies. I pay for it because I enjoy it because it has one of my favorite horror hosts of all time. His name is Joe Bob Briggs. Yes, he is a Texas man who talks about the drive-in movie theaters all the time, and his famous line is, I may even do it for this, and the drive-in will never die.
But, I like that.
Yeah. But, well, I'm glad that you enjoyed the film. I'm glad you came on the show and all that stuff. I hope
you
enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. If you ever have anybody that ever wants to come on the show, if you ever want to come back for another movie, just let me know.
Definitely. I'd love to.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Give Event Horizon a watch if you haven't yet. I guarantee you it's a really good movie to just, like, you know, turn your mind off and just watch a really cool Paul Anderson film in his early career before he, like, did all the other, like, you know, horror video game adaptations like Resident Evil and all that other stuff. But all right, guys, we'll catch you later.